We've been spending several weeks studying the words of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we're learning what, because we want to know who he is and who he claimed to be by his own words. Our focus has been on the seven I am statements of the Lord Jesus given to us in the Gospel of John. First he says, I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. I am the gate or the door. I am the resurrection and I am the good shepherd. I am the resurrection and the life. This morning we're going to look at the sixth of these bold statements. It is found in John chapter 14, verse 6. John 14, verse 6. Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Now we need to once again understand what is taking place at the time the Lord says this. He and the disciples are in the upper room on the night that he was to be betrayed by Judas. And Jesus was talking to the disciples who had already had become confused. They were concerned because of what was happening at the meal. Jesus had just finished washing their feet, and he announced that he was going to be betrayed by one of them. And then Judas departs from the meal. And the disciples thought that maybe Judas went to take care of some business. But we know that it was because Jesus had identified him as the betrayer and had told him to do what he must do. And Jesus had announced that their most outspoken leader, Peter, would deny him three times before the morning would come. So their minds are somewhat confused because they expected the Lord Jesus to be the king, the Messiah, who would come to this earth, who would overthrow the governing authorities in Rome, and he would sit on his throne in Rome, and they would be part of his kingship. Now, during this time, Jesus was telling his disciples to look beyond what you see in the immediate and think about the eternal. So, because during the next 72 hours, the disciples were going to be going through like a roller coaster ride. They were going to be going through so much. They were going to be witnessing they would be following him to the Garden of Gethsemane, where they would be listening to him pray. And afterwards, they would see the soldiers come, Judas kiss him on the cheek. He would be arrested. He would be taken to trial, accused of being a traitor, a blasphemer. He would be beaten and tortured. They would witness him being hung on the cross, suffering, bleeding. They would witness him dying. They would also witness him being laid into the tomb. And then after 3 days, they roll the stone back, or the stone is rolled back, and he is not there. So they were going to be going through a lot of things during the next 72 hours. But Jesus wanted them to remember his promise to them. Remember to put their confidence, their trust, their faith in him, even when they don't understand what is going on. If you think about it, it's great advice for us too. Then Thomas expresses his confusion and he says, "We don't know what you're talking about. We don't know where it is you're going, so we certainly don't know how to get there." And Jesus responded with our text for this morning. He says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." So the Lord Jesus himself calls himself the way, the truth, and the life. He is the way. The obvious question is, the way to what? Where? Suppose you were on some wilderness adventure. You were going on some safari in Africa. And you hire a guide. And you go out into the jungle. And suddenly you reach a place where there is no longer any path showing the way. And you ask the guide, "Where's the path? Which way do we go?" The guide might say to you, "I am the path." Now the guide isn't saying that you need to walk on him. He's telling you that he doesn't need a path to find his way. You might be lost, you might be disoriented, but he is not. Jesus is saying pretty much the same thing to the disciples. That the events that will soon take place will surely leave them confused. And they will feel lost. They will feel deserted. They don't know, they won't understand what is happening. But Jesus wants them to know that if they continue to trust in him, he will lead them not only out of the crisis, he will lead them to a relationship with God that will last through eternity, because he is the way to heaven. We are in a crisis in this country. Many of us are confused. Many are lost. Many are concerned. Even to the point of suicide. But when we put our faith, when we put our trust, and we put our hope, not in the things of this world, if we put our hope in Jesus Christ instead of the stock markets, we put our hope in following him and obeying him and loving him and holding fast to him instead of being anxious and worrisome and concerned to the point where we lose peace. If we put our hope and trust in Jesus and remember that God is in control, he is the one that can lead us out of it. Or any darkness, then we will find that peace. We will find that way. He also said that he is the truth. Jesus is the source for knowledge of God. He told his disciples that no one has or can see God because he is spirit. He's beyond our ability to grasp, to understand. But yet Jesus says, "He who has seen me has seen the Father." The Lord Jesus is the one who leads us to the truth about God. Jesus is not just a teacher of truth. He is the truth. He is the standard by which all truth is measured. Once again, the Lord Jesus is making a very bold statement because he is claiming to be God. He is, and as God, he is the one who truly knows what is right and wrong. He truly knows which is true and false, what is best and what is not best. He knows the truth. He knows the way. But he is also claiming that he is the life. Some time ago, there was a psychologist that asked 3,000 people, what do you have to live for? What have you to live for? And he was shocked to find out that 94% were simply enduring the present, waiting for the future. They were waiting for something to happen. They were waiting for their children to grow up and leave home. They were waiting for next year. They were waiting for another time when they could take a long vacation. They were waiting for their retirement. They were even waiting for tomorrow. They all believed that there was something more to life than what they were currently experiencing. You know, sometimes our family and friends might give us gifts. We get excited because we wonder what the gift might be. We imagine that life might be better or more enjoyable with what they are going to give us. And we think about how much better we're going to look, or how much better we're going to feel, how satisfied we will be. However, after we receive those gifts, those feelings don't last very long. We aren't satisfied because the stuff, the material things, is not what we are longing for. We are longing for a relationship with God, whether we realize it or not. You know, one of the popular gifts now is a GPS. It's a device put in your car and tells you, punch in you know, the address that you want to go to, or the location you want to go to, and then suddenly a map will come up, and your voice will tell you, turn by turn, the directions to go to get to there. If you make a wrong turn or take a detour, the GPS will keep trying to get you back on your course. If you look at it in that sense, God has planted within us a GPS that is set to lead us to Him. We take detours. We get lost on the way. We ignore the directions. But inside of us, there is a voice that keeps calling us back to the Lord, trying to get us back on track. Because the Lord Jesus is the destination. He is the one who establishes this connection with the Creator of the universe. The Lord Jesus is the one who satisfies that desire in us to do something that is more eternal. We must know, we must trust Him if we want to find that life that we are longing to have, the eternal life. Now, most people can tolerate what Jesus said about being the way, the truth, and the life. And I think most people say, oh, okay, I can accept that if He stopped at that point. But once He says He is the only way to God, then He puts us in a tough spot. He said, no man comes to the Father except through Me. There are no other ways to God. We remember when we talked about Jesus being the gate. There was only one way into the sheep pen for safety. And that was through Jesus, who was the gate, the good shepherd. Anyone who came over the top or tried to go in any other way except through Jesus would be considered a thief and a robber. So this kind of statement, people will say, is very narrow-minded, arrogant, even hateful. If you say that there is the only way to heaven, the only way is through Jesus Christ, then people say, oh, you're narrow-minded. Even Oprah, who says she is a Christian, she is no more Christian than that plant right there. Because she says there are millions of ways to get to God. There are millions of ways to get to heaven, not just Christianity. It's just one of many ways. But Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through me. Let's turn to Acts chapter 4, verse 12. Acts chapter 4, verse 12. Nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. Now, a lot of people resist this statement because they don't want to have to submit their will to anyone else. In this very independent society, people expect God to join our will. Say, bless me in my work, Lord. Instead of bending our hearts to His will, which means we should be saying, command what you will, and give me strength to do what you command me to do. And we resist this because it means not everyone goes to heaven. A lot of people don't like this statement because it means not everyone will go to heaven. A lot of people say, oh, that's not fair. My brother or my friend is so good, is such a good person, a very loving person, and does a lot of good charity work and helps the poor and wouldn't hurt a flea. You see, our reasoning is faulty. We are measuring people's lives by our standards of goodness instead of God's standard. By our standards, there are a lot of good people who are doing very well. But the standard of measurement is not us. The standard of measurement is God. By God's standard, we have all sinned and all fallen short of the glory of God. By God's standard, there are no good people. There are only rebellious people who have no idea of the danger that they are in. And they desperately need someone to rescue them. Suppose you were floating down a river. Nice, quiet, peaceful river, and you were floating down the river on an inner tube. And you have your iPod, you know, earphones in, and you're just relaxing and listening to your music. Life is very calm, very peaceful. And you say, oh, life is so good. It doesn't get any better than this. And by your own perception, by your view, life is really good. However, suppose just a short distance ahead, there's a huge waterfall that will send the water 30 feet to a pool below. And suppose you see people on the shore waving to you. They're waving like this because they are aware of the danger. But you wave back to them. You hear the word danger, but say, I got sunscreen on. I got enough sunscreen. I'm okay. But then let's say one guy from the shore actually starts to swim out to you and tells you that you need to come back to the shore. But you have your iPod on and you think maybe he's trying to steal your iPod. So you kick him away. Who is to blame when you go over the falls and you die? Is it God's fault for creating the waterfall? No. Do we blame the people on the shore? No, because they did everything they could to warn you. So who is to blame? It is you, yourself. You see, our own feelings of comfort, our own feelings of goodness, your own feelings of comfort, your own feelings of goodness made you oblivious to the fact of what was really going on. And that's the way it is with the world. We are all floating down the same river, toward destructive forces of God's judgment. We feel confident. We feel secure. God sends messengers to call people to Christ, to warn them of the dangers that lie ahead in this world, to warn them of the dangers that lie ahead of them in the eternal life of hell. But there are other options that are more attractive to them. They look for an easier way. Again, they say the message of Christianity is too restrictive, too demanding. It takes too much of my time. Tell me to read the Bible every day, pray every day, and go to church all the time and Bible studies. I have better things to do in my life. I have family to take care of, business to run, job to go to, books to study, friends to visit. Too many other things. Christianity is just too restrictive. So who is to blame when these people face judgment? It's not God. And it is not those who proclaim the message. It is not the friends and the relatives who try to reach out to them. The only one to blame is the one who refuses to hear, to listen, and to follow. It's true that what Lord Jesus says is a very bold statement. But truth, by nature, is what we call dogmatic, very solid, very steadfast, very persistent, unmovable. I had a teacher who was most dogmatic, narrow-minded person that I ever knew. She always insisted that 2 plus 2 equals 4. It didn't make any difference what you had. If you had 2 apples, 2 cows, $2, 2 plus 2 equals 4. So she was very insistent. Banks operate in the same way. Only in today's situation is 2 minus 2 equals 0. Truth, one of the characteristics of truth, the main characteristic of truth, is that it is dogmatic, it is consistent, it is persistent, it is unmovable, unshakable. Truth must be dogmatic,
unshakable.
When I ask directions to go somewhere, I don't ask my directions from a man who isn't sure and doesn't know exactly how to get where I want to go. We want our directions from someone who knows exactly where to turn and how many blocks you are to go. What about all the other religious belief systems? For example, Islam says that Jesus was not crucified. Christianity says he was. Only one of us can be right. Judaism says Jesus was not the Messiah. Christianity says Jesus was the Messiah. Only one of us can be right. Hinduism says God has often been manifested in many forms. Christianity said God was manifested only in Jesus Christ. Only one of us can be right. We cannot both be right. Buddhism says that the world's mysteries will end when we do what is right. Christianity says that we cannot do what is right, even though we want to do it. See, the Word of God is very clear. The Lord Jesus says we cannot have a relationship with God without having a saving relationship with Christ. Because He is the only way to God. He is the truth about God. And He possesses the life of God. Because He is God. himself. Now, there will be people who hear the words of Christ when he says he proclaims his deity. They will read about and see, maybe even experience themselves, his acts of power. And they will come to recognize, and they will believe that Jesus is indeed the way, the truth, and the life. And these people will be bold enough to put their trust and their confidence in Christ to rescue them. These people have embraced the Savior, have found that he has also embraced them. They have come to him in faith and found that the Lord of life has made them new from the inside out. These are the people who truly understand that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. The disciples were facing a life of uncertainty when they knew that their Lord Jesus was going to be taken from them physically. But he wanted to reassure them that if they continue to trust in him, put their faith in him, obey him, remember his teachings, that he will show them the way out of the darkness into the light. Because he is the truth, the unshakable, the unmovable truth, the only truth that matters. And he will lead us on the path of life for all eternity. We are facing it in this nation and around the world, a great crisis. Of course, there are wars, and there's disease, and there's other things. But what is really bringing nations to their crumbling the nations right now is the economic crisis. Why? Because man, for so many generations, has continued to put his love for money over his love for God. Nothing wrong with money. There is absolutely nothing wrong. We need money. But when we put the love of money and create it, make it as an idol over our love for God, this is when we get into trouble. So just like when the nation turned to prayer after 9/11, we need to turn to God. Brothers and sisters, we need to pray for this nation. We need to pray for the world. We may be sitting in our homes. We may be comfortable. I'm not worried about the stock market, myself personally. I never invested in it, never planned to. Although I had some mutual funds from a retirement account. And my retirement account is in there. But whatever happens, happens. I cannot control it. All I can do is control my relationship with God, trusting in him. If he wants to protect our financial status, he will. If he wants us to learn to live even more simplistically than we are, that is his will, and we will do so. But hold fast to Christ. Don't let him shake. If we want to find peace during this difficult time, there is a few things that we can do. First, Read your Bible every day. Draw peace and comfort from the Word of God. Draw words of understanding into your heart. Build that relationship with Him. Secondly, pray. Pray every day. I think it's fair to say that most of us have a very weak prayer life. Now is the time to turn to God in prayer. Third, share the gospel with everyone. Share the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. If you do those three things, the peace of Christ will come into our heart. We will lose that anxiety. We will lose the worry because we are walking hand in hand. With the one who is the bread of life, with the one who is the light of the world, with the one who is the gate to heaven, with the one who is the good shepherd that will lead us there, with the one who is the resurrection and the life, and the one who is the way, the truth, and the life. Hold fast to the Lord Jesus Christ. Not only now, but for always. Because He is your Messiah, the way,